Welcome to another episode of the Can Deposit Excuses podcast. I'm your host, Derek Wiley, and got a pretty weighty subject I wanted to talk about today, the meaning of life.
Oh, this is heavy.
I have not discovered the meaning of life. That's not the purpose of this podcast, but I think it's a philosophical question that's worth asking ourselves, especially as we sit here 2 years into a global health crisis where we're constantly being inundated with information about lives lost, lives being saved, what might happen if certain precautions aren't taken. And so I think it's kind of an interesting topic to think about is, you know, well, what is the meaning of life? And so I just wanted to talk a little about that subject, kind of give my opinion and then kind of look at some comments and some things that other people that are much more, you know, worldly than myself have said over the millennia about the meaning of life. So I just wanted to read some quotes here, some things, and just, you know, kind of get other people's takes on what the meaning of life might be. Here's one, this quote: "The meaning of life is whatever you ascribe it to be. Being alive is the meaning." Joseph Campbell, that's ascribed to that quote. So whatever you ascribe it, that's the meaning of life. Being alive is the meaning.
Life will not be contained. Life breaks free, it expands to new territories, and it crashes through barriers painfully, maybe even dangerously, but, well, there it is.
Don't necessarily know if I agree with that, and we'll get to that in a moment. I feel like that might be where a lot of people fall on the spectrum of what life means. It's whatever you ascribe it to be, and being alive is the meaning of life. Okay, well, we can dig into that a little bit more here in a moment. Here's another one. Ralph Waldo Emerson said this: "The purpose of life is not to be happy. It is to be useful, to be honorable, to be compassionate, to have it make some difference that you have lived and lived well." Once again, don't know if I agree with that. I don't think the entire purpose of life is to be happy, but I certainly hope that my purpose in life is more than to be simply utilitarian, like a tool. I hope that my life is much more important than being a shovel or a screwdriver or a drill. I mean, these are all things that are useful, and maybe they have honorable purpose, but I certainly hope that my life has more meaning than to simply be, you know, useful and honorable and compassionate. I think those are great things. And maybe happiness isn't the purpose, but it certainly seems to me, at least in this country, some of our founding documents gave us the right to the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. So, yeah, happiness should fall on that scale somewhere. Here's one from Nelson Mandela: "There is no passion to be found in settling for a life that is less than the one you were capable of living." This is starting to get on the right track. I don't find any qualms with his assertion on the meaning of life. You know, passion to be found. There is none if you're settling for a life that's less than the one you're capable of living. I mean, I think that's kind of a great thought. So with that being said, one of the things that I feel like over the last 2 years, we're giving this great weight to life in terms of numbers. It seems to me that in the world that we currently live in, everything has to have a number associated with it. It has to be quantified in some way. And the problem is that I think in and of itself is actually antithetical to what life is. It can't be all numbers. It's kind of like being in business. I'm in business for myself. And so all the people in business, they're looking at spreadsheets, right? Accountants are looking at spreadsheets, the controller, the CFO, the CEO, and everybody, every person is simply a number on a spreadsheet, right? And so we lay off 30 employees, but who are those people? What are their lives? What do they mean? Does anyone give any thought to that? We look at corporate profits. Well, what do we do to maximize profit? But do we really care about what has to happen if our only goal in life is the maximization of profit? Then obviously we miss a whole part of the side of the argument as to what life is or what business is. I mean, is the purpose of a business really purely profit driven? Is that the only purpose of a business? Is profit among, you know, before anything? I hope not. I hope that's not the only purpose for business. Generally in business, I would say the goal is to provide a good or service to someone else. And hopefully that good or service that you provide is good enough and you do it well enough that someone is willing to pay you for that resource that you're providing, whether it be something in the service industry, whether it be goods, products, et cetera. That should be the goal, is to provide good quality products and services. And the same thing with life. Life can't be just driven by numbers. I was watching a podcast the other day, and this is a good analogy that a gentleman used. If we're going to take all of life and we're going to break it down to say that life is measured by, let's say, the years that you've lived or how long you've been on this earth, and that's the meaning of life, well, then let me ask you this. Whose life was more valuable, is more important? Is it Barbara Walters, who's currently 92 years of age? Would you say that she had a better life, or that her life had more meaning than Martin Luther King Jr.? He died at age 39. She's still alive at age 92. Who lived the greater life? Whose life had more meaning in the grand scope of the world, of humanity? Whose life had more meaning? It seems to me that that's kind of where we're at today with the situation we're at with our health and with our politics and with those in power and in charge. We want to break this entire thing down to, well, how long did you live? Well, did we save this many lives? Were we able to successfully stop this bad thing from stopping? You know, what's a comment I've heard multiple times is, not even one life. You know, one life is important. We can't risk losing one life. I mean, that's a great sentiment to have, but you have to ask yourself, what is the cost to society if that's truly your end goal, right? If your end goal is pure safety at all times, then it would assume to reason that you're willing to take what, any and all measures necessary to reach that goal? You know, what if my goal for my children is I don't want them to ever get a scratch because I want them to reach adulthood with no scars? I don't want any skinned up knees. I don't want any, you know, little marks on their face. What kind of life would that be? What would their childhood be like? Would we keep them indoors, never allowed to run, never allowed to potentially knock into some piece of furniture in the household, never allowed to go out with a stick in the yard and chase each other around? All things that I did as a child, climb a tree. I mean, is that really living life? I mean, sure, they'll get to adulthood and they'll have no scars and they'll have no scratches, but it's those scars and those scratches, those are the stories of our life, right? Those things that happen to us, those things that we experience that are maybe not perfect. I mean, is life really worth living if it's all perfect, if it's all rainbows and butterflies? Isn't it the yin and the yang, the darkness and the light? We need both of those as humans in order to grow, in order to live. We've got to have both pieces. We can't just have one side. We can't just have, you know, everything. Because if you never experienced despair, if you never experienced tragedy, if you never experienced hurt, if you never experienced that, then how could you even appreciate the perfection, the beauty, the things that you see in your child's eyes when you look into them? How could you ever appreciate that if you didn't have the opposite side? So I feel like we're in a world right now that's kind of upside down, where we've kind of lost focus. We're so concerned about making sure that everyone is safe and everyone is in a good spot at all times. How long do we do that for? How long do we continue down this path? You know, the Dalai Lama had this to say, and I thought this was an interesting thing, and I'm going to read, you know, one thing that he just says about man. The Dalai Lama was asked, what thing about humanity surprises you the most? He said, man, because he sacrifices his health in order to make money. Then he sacrifices his money to recuperate his health. And then he is so anxious about the future that he does not enjoy the present. The result being that he does not live in the present or the future. He lives as if he is never going to die. And then he dies having never really lived. And that's the concern that I have. Are we really living? What are we doing to society by having this mantra that the most important thing about being alive is how long you live? What are we saying to society when we put longevity of life above living? Those experiences, those scraped knees, those busted eyebrows. I've got a scar on my eyebrow, 16 stitches, another one, 8 stitches in my forehead. What is life if not for that? The risks that we take. we have to be willing as a society to acknowledge, like, you've got to take some level of risk. Life, the meaning of life can't purely be the chemical reaction of our bodies, our cells replicating and us just continuing to exist, because that's what we're doing right now. We're purely existing. We're existing as a species. And I'm sorry, existing is not living. The meaning of life has to be more than just the pure existence of being on this earth, of taking a breath. Now, does that mean if things are dangerous or there's things that can harm us that we shouldn't, you know, be mindful of those things, that we shouldn't take precautions, that we shouldn't try to be safe? Well, absolutely we should. When I get into my car every single day, I put my seatbelt on. Now, I know there are some people out there that don't do that. I've got friends that don't wear their seatbelt. I wear mine all the time. Why? Because I've seen what happens if you don't. I was an insurance adjuster on the litigation side for many years. The photographs that I've seen, the injuries, the fatalities that I've seen for people who didn't wear their seatbelt, they've kind of pretty much told me, like, hey, seatbelts are good. I'm going to wear mine. Do I necessarily think it's the government's role to tell everyone to wear a seatbelt? No, not necessarily. Maybe that's a little bit of libertarian leanings that I might have, but I don't necessarily know if it's my role to tell everyone they have to do something that really, at the end of the day, it benefits me, the person wearing the seatbelt. And so I'm going to wear it because I want to be safe. When I go out of my house, I lock my doors, right? I don't want anybody breaking into my house. When I go out into the world, my kids, you know, start to dart out of the car and run to the store. I'm like, hey, stop. You know, when they were younger, hold my hand. Now it's, hey, look for cars, you know, kind of teaching them to be aware and be responsible for themselves and for their own lives and understand what can harm them in the world. That's my role as a parent. The role as a parent is very similar to the role of government. The role should be, to some degree, to set some boundaries, right? Set some guidelines. But it shouldn't be to make sure that everything is perfect at all times. That's what you do with a baby. With a baby, you make sure that the entire world revolves around them and you make sure that all their needs are met because they have no ability to care for themselves or take care of themselves. And I feel like that's kind of where we are in society. We're all being treated as a bunch of babies, as if none of us have the ability to have rational thought. I think there's not a person out there right now that's not aware of what risks are in the world, the risks that we all take and what we do. But for some reason, we're treating it as if people are not responsible for themselves. And so as a consequence, we're failing to live life, the life we really should be living, the life to the best of our ability. As Nelson Mandela said, right? The worst thing you could do would be living a life where you didn't try to reach your full potential. So, you know, that's one of the things that I think is very, very interesting. Plato wants to find a man as an animal, a biped, featherless with broad nails. But a much better definition that he gave was a being in search of meaning. That's what we should be doing, searching for our meaning, searching for our future, searching for what it is that our goal is, what our end goal should be. That is the meaning of life, at least to me. The meaning of life is trying to figure that out. But it can't be longevity. That can't be what we define the meaning of life as, because, you know, I could keep a person in a box for 100 years and never expose them to the environment, right? All of the negative things that happen to us, right? We have the sun beating down on us, giving us skin cancer. We're consuming things into our body, food, processed food that could lead to disease down the road. We're doing things that could lead to heart disease. We're doing all of these things each and every day, and over the long span of life, they're probably going to come back to bite us. So I could take a person and keep them away from all those things, but would that person in 80 or 90 or 100 years say that they lived much longer because they weren't exposed to all these outside forces? Would you say that's a life worth living?
I'm into freedom of speech and freedom of choice. I'm the kind of guy who likes to sit in a greasy spoon and wonder, gee, should I have the T-bone steak or the jumbo rack of barbecue ribs with the side order of gravy fries? I want high cholesterol. I want to eat bacon and butter and buckets of cheese, okay? I want to smoke a Cuban cigar the size of Cincinnati in a non-smoking section. I want to run through the streets naked with green jello all over my body reading Playboy magazine. Why? Because I suddenly might feel the need to, okay, pal? I've seen this. Do you know what it is? It's a 47-year-old virgin sitting around in his beige pajamas drinking a banana broccoli shake thinking I'm an Oscar Mayer wiener.
I'd say it's not a life worth living. You know, I'm very concerned for our children. What are we doing to them? What are we doing for them? Is this the world that we want them to live in? Is this the world we want to leave them? No one gives any consideration. You hear all the time, you know, well, children are very resilient. They are resilient, but should they have to be? Do they have to be resilient? What role and what responsibility do we have as a society to do what's right? To make sure that while being safe, while trying to protect those that can't protect themselves, while being cautious and taking precaution, we can't put everything else on hold. We cannot put life on hold. There are people that have not seen their elderly family. At this point, I hope they have. We have obviously plenty of medical tools out there at our disposal that would alleviate those concerns. But there were people, and I think continue to be people, that haven't seen elderly loved ones for fear that they may harm them, they may hurt them. And my question for you is, well, do you think it's living life if that person dies alone or that person dies having never gotten another visit from you or seeing you? But hey, they lived an extra year or two. I know personally, if that were me and my opportunity was to see, say, my grandkids or not see my grandkids, I want to see my grandkids. And if I have to face the consequence that something negative may happen as a result of that, I'm willing to live with that consequence. I think that's the meaning of life. Understanding there are consequences, doing what you can to protect yourself from the negative ones, but at the end of the day, not being so afraid to step out of that comfort zone that you just become a being that's just existing. And that's where we are to a large degree. There's a great article that is on Medium. I'm going to butcher this name, but the gentleman's name's Irami Osi Frimpong. He has some very controversial statements in the past. He's a little wild and wonky, but he wrote an article called, and I can't say the word because this will probably get censored, but blank disease and the meaning of life. So just fill in that blank at the beginning, but it's blank in the meaning of life. And that's kind of what got me thinking, you know, well, what is the true meaning of life? Because he makes the argument that it has to be more than just the chemical process. There's more to life than that. An interesting thing I was reading as I was researching, you know, trying to figure out what have other people said over the course of history about, you know, the meaning of life, because this seems to be something that's a philosophical debate that's as old as time as people try to figure it out. And there was one thing I came across in particular that I read that I thought was interesting. In The Man's Search for Meaning, the psychiatrist and neurologist Viktor Frankl wrote about his ordeal as a concentration camp inmate during the Second World War. Tellingly, Frankl found that those who survived the longest in the concentration camp were not those who were physically strong, but those who retained a sense of control over their environment. He observed, "We who lived in concentration camps can remember the men who walked through the huts comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken from a man. But one thing, the last of human freedoms, to choose one's own attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way." Frankl's message ultimately is one of hope. Even in the most absurd, painful, and dispiriting of circumstances, life can still be given a meaning, and so too can suffering. I just thought that was interesting. He came out and said those who survived the longest weren't necessarily those that were the most physically strong. It was those who were looking for the ability to have some level of control over their environment, some ability to say, look, I'm going to decide whether or not I eat this bread or whether I give it to someone else. That's humanity. That's life. That's the thing we're missing. We think if we all are just physically strong and we go and we work out and we run and we take all these precautions and we do all these right things, we'll live forever. But is that really the meaning of life? Is the meaning of life to live forever? Eternal life? That's another question. This is when you get out of just the philosophical realm, you get into the religious realm and you talk about eternal life. You know, well, what does that mean? And that's a topic, obviously, for another day. But once again, you have to ask yourself, is anything worth living if there's an infinite supply of it? Like, I think that's what makes life amazing, is it's finite. We have a very limited supply of this item of life, very few years on this earth. Some of us have less than others, unfortunately. And none of us know when that time might come or when the end might be for us, where we pass from this life into the afterlife. So shouldn't we be all striving to live the best version of our lives that we can while we're here, instead of cowering in fear, being afraid that, hey, this decision that I make today, that might be the end? Yeah, I think it's important to do that to some extent. I'm not advocating people go and bungee jump with no cords or jump out of airplanes with no parachutes, but I am advocating, understand that for every decision that we make, just like in the world of physics, you know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So is it not possible that the decisions we make now have repercussions that last years down the road and into the future? It's kind of like the butterfly effect, right? Is it the rock that skips in the pond in those ripples that go out over time? Is it not possible that we're not going to see what those ripples do, how they crash into the shore until many years down the road? So I know this is kind of a heady podcast episode and maybe not one that's traditional on our channel, but I have a hard time reconciling where we are as a society where we've put safety and health above life as being something that is good for humanity. I think we have to weigh the pros and cons and understand there's a lot more to life than just simply existing. And so maybe the meaning of life for me is the ability to go out, find your way in the world, do what you can in the world to make it a better place, be in touch, in contact, in proximity to those that you love and care about, and have experiences. Experiences that are amazing, experiences that are tragic, experiences that lift you up, and experiences that tear you down. Because that's life. It's a roller coaster. It's a roller coaster of emotion. It's a roller coaster of experiences. But that's the meaning of life. And hopefully at the end, you'll have lived a good one. And you'll have made some major contribution, maybe not to the world at large, but to maybe those in your sphere, maybe your friends, your family, your loved ones. Maybe the things you do today, the kindness that you show to others, the people that are in despair that you lift up, you never know what that ripple effect might be from that relationship. What will that person go on to do? What will that person go on to achieve? And will you have some part in it? That's part of being a human. We're all woven together. So think about that. Do your own research, define what life means to you, but I challenge everyone to understand that I'm sure it's much more than existing, and that's what I intend to do. So that's it. Hope you guys enjoyed this version of the Can't Deposit Excuses podcast, and until next time, I appreciate you guys. Take it easy. Thanks.